Welcome to the Middle East Update with Amir Sarfati. Amir discusses the latest news from Israel and the region through the lens of biblical prophecy. The original video versions can be found on Behold Israel's YouTube and Facebook channels. To make it convenient, we've converted them to audio format to keep up with your busy schedule. Be sure to also subscribe to Amir Sarfati on Telegram for daily updates from the Middle East. Amir's Middle East updates are based on the latest and most reliable sources, so you know you're getting the most accurate news. Now, on to the update.
Shalom, everyone. This is Amir Sarfati. I'm live from Galilee. And right over there is the Jezreel. Whoop, there you go, the Jezreel Valley. And let me summarize what happened last night. So, as you probably all know, Israel was attacked mostly from Iranian soil. Mostly, that means some drones and missiles were shot from Iraq, some from Syria, some from Yemen. Hezbollah joined the party a little bit with Katyusha rockets later on, but the vast majority of the attack was from Iran. Iran launched over 300 aerial vehicles. Some are UAVs, some are cruise missiles, and some are ballistic missiles. Ballistic missiles are fast because they go up the atmosphere and go down much faster. Cruise missiles takes much longer because they are cruising in low altitude, just like an airplane, even I would say slow plane. And UAVs are much slower than that. And basically, Iran launched everything. And what we know now, I mean, what we, the citizens, I'm not talking about people in high authority, what we know now, what is official right now, is that the U.S. received a warning. Not even a warning, received the information of when, how this whole thing is going to be. The U.S. tried to persuade Iran not to do it, but Iran was very determined to do it. But the U.S. via Turkey received the information of what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. Of course, Israel received information, but you need to understand, by accepting this information from the Iranians, it's almost like you agree that it's going to happen as long as it's not going to cross some lines, which is what we are so angry about. Because what do you mean you can just out of the blue shoot almost 350 flying objects, no matter what it is? What do you mean you can just do that and it's okay? I mean, would the White House be okay with interceptions of 350 flying objects towards Washington, D.C., and call that a victory? Of course not. No country would tolerate such a violation of sovereignty. But put that aside. Let me, A, tell you what the Iranians were thinking, and then let me tell you what the Israelis did, and let me give you some other interesting nuggets of information. So first of all, ever since the Abraham Accords were signed, part of the deal was that there is a new alliance in the Middle East of Israel and Arab countries that will collaborate in many different financial, economic areas. However, also in security area, and we sign agreements where we share intelligence and where we share command centers. And it is the Middle East Air Defense that we created, MEAD. Okay, so basically last night we operated this MEAD for the first time in a full scale. The fact that the Saudis and the Jordanians helped intercepting rockets and drones is phenomenal. And the fact that the entire airspace of the Middle East was actually cleared to give Israel air superiority to deal with the threats. It's unprecedented. Jordan closed its airspace, Saudi closed its airspace, and basically the airspace was given to us because all of the Israeli F-35s were intercepting drones and cruise missiles, not in Israeli territory, in Jordanian's territory, in Syrian territory, in Saudi territory, which is phenomenal. It is unbelievable if you really think about it. This is a new era in the Middle East. The F-35 is the only fighter jet that we have with the capabilities of shooting down drones and cruise missiles. The rest of our fighter jets are more for air-to-ground and air-to-air when it comes to combating other fighter jets. But the F-35 is much more advanced, and this is exactly, by the way, why the Iranians marked the Nevatim airbase in the Negev, in the southern part of Israel, as their target. Iran announced that it actually damaged two targets. Iran is taking pride of the fact that no civilian targets were actually there, but only military, which is baloney. It's baloney because if it wasn't for the God of Israel, who also gave us the air defense systems, a lot of people would have, been killed. But forget about that. Nevatim Air Base, it's because the F-35s who shot the rockets that killed the general in Damascus, this is where they took off from. And the other target they claim to have damaged is the Israeli military outpost on Mount Hermon, which was, according to the Iranians, the command center that directed the F-35s during the attack on the building in Damascus. Now, another thing I want to correct. Israel did not attack the embassy. This is something that the Iranians tell the world in order to justify the attack on Israel. We did not even harm the embassy. We attacked the annex building, which was a base of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And in order to hide their deeds, they called it consulate. But since when consulate is within the embassy? Consulate is a branch of the embassy elsewhere. But they called it consulate because they needed to give it a diplomatic status. So if you hurt or damage it, it's as if you attacked the country. That's the whole thing. But Israel did not attack the Iranian embassy in Damascus. It's still standing. It's open. Nothing happened to the embassy. Nothing happened to any embassies around it. So it has to be very clear. Now, let me also give you an information about what happened last night. So basically, America gave us information. America, okay, I have very mixed feelings because on one hand, I'm very grateful for the collaboration with the Americans. But on the other hand, I'm furious that it was okay with the U.S. administration to allow the Iranians to do what they did, as long as it's going to stay within limits and not cross some lines. Guys, almost 350 flying objects towards Israel, among which 120 ballistic missiles, drones and cruise missiles. This was the largest drone attack in the history of planet Earth. And forget about that. In space, above the atmosphere, because Israel obviously used its technology with the Arrow to intercept the ballistic missiles in space. What the world has seen up from space last night was unprecedented as well. So the largest drone attack and the largest display of explosions above the atmosphere took place last night. Last night was crazy. By the way, most of what you've seen coming into Israel was actually pieces of things that came from the atmosphere and was also parts of interceptors that triggered the alarm. So when you saw the map with all the dots of where the alarms are, that's not where rockets were, that's where alarms were activated. And for the most part, alarms were activated by the interceptors. Okay? This is important that you understand that. Now, something epic happened last night. Iran officially left the balcony, left the position of the spectator, and went down to the field to be a player in the war that we are having right now. Iran officially, for the first time, Iran attacked Israel. First time ever since Israel was born in 1948, Iran is attacking Israel directly. Now, how come Iran felt so comfortable doing that? Joe Biden. They knew that Biden will forbid Israel from striking back. They knew that he is not strong enough to somehow do something against them. They knew that this administration is always about negotiations, diplomatic solutions, all this nonsense. And even at the very end, when the White House issued a statement, they said that they're looking for a diplomatic response. Now, this is a language that only people in America and Europe can talk, not Middle Eastern. There is no diplomatic solution for a strike of hundreds of drones, hundreds of ballistic missiles, and hundreds of and over 100 cruise missiles. There's no diplomatic response. Now, the Iranians showed two things. They showed that A, their capabilities are not that great. B, they proved that the Israeli air defense system is phenomenal, and that the coalition that proved itself last night to be very successful is something that already exists. It wasn't something that was formed last night. So the Iranians woke up to the reality that nothing happened in Israel. A 7-year-old Muslim Bedouin girl was severely injured from a piece of interceptor. That's all. That's all. The Nevatim Air Base, there was a slight damage. It didn't hit anything crucial. The F-35s continued to take off and land, even this morning. Mount Hermon's base was not hurt. Folks, complete failure. But my point is this. We shouldn't look at the result. We should look at the actual daring act of doing that. And I think Israel is ought to respond and respond forcefully, decisively, and unapologetically. We have to do it. Now, when will we do that? We prefer to do that with the agreement of the U.S. and our allies in the area, because we, for the first time, can build a coalition against Iran. Iran is no longer some legitimate, you know, ally we can talk to right now. Everybody understands who they are and what they do. However, I suspect that dragging our feet and not doing anything in the next 72 hours will be perceived as weakness and invite more problems. And just like with Hamas for 20 years, we never responded forcefully to the rockets that they used to send to us, and we paid dearly for it on October 7th. We dare not contain and understand and show restraint and not respond forcefully. This has to be immediately dealt with and responded to and answered before it becomes a habit of the Iranians to exhaust our air defense. Now, another problem is that you may not know, but many of the missiles, the ballistic missiles the Iranians used last night, were actually old Russian Scud missiles that they kind of improved. These are cheap. These are, I don't know, $100,000, $200,000 a rocket. Huge pipes full of explosives and fuel. But in the interceptors that Israel was shooting as our unit, we spent over $1 billion last night. So you understand that that's another way to exhaust us financially and to empty our cage, you know. By the way, they're taking off right now. I don't know if you hear. I'm going to try and see. I mean, I'm hearing them, but anyway, bottom line, folks, what I want you to know is this. Israel has to respond. The Iranians are afraid. They're lining up for fuel. Their airports are closed. They understand something big is coming. They don't know what. Now, what can Israel do? There's four targets, main targets. One is their oil industry. Their oil industry. Iran heavily relies on its export of oil. And we can, just like what they did in 2019 to the Saudis, we can actually paralyze their oil industry. Two is dams. Iran has many dams we can destroy. And by doing that, A, cause some damage, but also disable their power plants. Number three is a lot of their underground missile silos in Kermanshe, in Isfahan, and other places. Here they are. They're taking off right now. Or landing, let me see. Okay. No, they're coming back from the mission. I can hear it. And the fourth one is, and of course that's the most important one if you ask me, the fourth one is the nuclear program of Iran, 15 different sites that we can hurt. You know, we have the legitimacy, we have the chance, we have the opportunity. For so many years we were looking for a reason, not a reason, but an excuse to attack, for an opportunity to attack. We have it right now. The whole world knows Israel has to respond, and we better respond. And if we respond, we better do it in a way that will achieve many of the goals that we wish to achieve, which is stopping their nuclear program before they assemble the bomb, as well as disabling their economy by hurting their oil industry. So there's a lot of stuff that we can do. Russia is staying silent. I think Russia is very embarrassed with the performance of the Iranians last night. China is pretty silent. And we're going to see what's going to happen very soon. One thing is for sure, April 14 was historic. And I'm going to tell you, folks, the Middle East has never seen anything like this before. Israel has never seen anything like that. Let me repeat, the largest drone attack in history and the largest ballistic missile display in above the atmosphere where they were exploding. If you follow me on Telegram, there's at least one video where I show the explosion above the atmosphere. It's amazing, quite amazing. But again, last night, the entire airspace of the Middle East was empty and given to Israel for its superiority in the air in order to shoot down most of the stuff. We shut it down ourselves, but France, UK, of course, America, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia helped with their interceptions as well. Phenomenal. Unprecedented, amazing But at the same time, you cannot call it a victory. You can call it a miracle. You can call it, good outcome. Victory is not when your defense is great. Victory is when your offense is great. You only have defense in order to allow your troops, your army to offense, to go and destroy the enemy. We are not pre-1948. We're not in the Holocaust. We're not in the programs. We're not waiting and sitting to see what's next coming upon us. Those days are over. We have a military that can go and just like we did in 1967. It's about time that we seize the moment. And my problem is knowing how things are. Every hour that passes, the legitimacy, the urgency, and the camaraderie and solidarity is kind of evaporating every hour that goes by. Remember how everybody were on our side on October 7th, and 6 months later, 90% of the world is not in agreement with us at all? Well, that's what's going to happen if we're not going to strike now, if we're going to drag it, if we're going to wait, it's not going to end up well. It's a show of weakness. This is the Middle East. You talk Arabic or Farsi. You don't talk English or French. That's the way it is. So continue to follow me on Telegram for much more information. Please share this with as many as you can. And let's be in prayer. God is in full control. He's got it. Let's give him the glory and the credit. Thank you. God bless you. Shalom.